Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
Last week, we started just a two-part series. I hope to finish it. If not, we'll finish by next week. We interrupted our marketplace focus with a review of a WhatsApp message that Pastor Thamo shared to the Gate Global family. In a nutshell, I'm not going to read through the entire message. The message was also followed up by a dream from Prophet Anthony Earle. In a nutshell, Pastor Thamo is convinced that over the churches he gives oversight to, that the spirit of restraint has been lifted. There was something holding, and it wasn't the devil, it was God, but that now that has been lifted. The lift has been from God's estimates based on the fact that he deems us prepared and ready for the next level of advance. It's not that we're perfect, but there is been a signal, if you would, of a gun glowing, going off, of release, right? It's not that we're flawless, but we need to advance into the next phase of God's dealings with us. So the restraint has been lifted. We're calling it a season of unrestraint. And these are Prophet Anthony Earle's words. Now, what I want to do is go through, like we did last week, for those that are viewing via live stream and those here, if you missed last week, today's session will only make sense to you if you review the first session. So I'm not going to go to the content of the message and the content of the dream. It will just take too long. But you will pick up on aspects as we go through, so don't be too alarmed. Pastor Thamo described it as a missive, not a message. It was a missive. And last week I explained to you a missive is an apostolic charge. It's a formal declaration. It's not a message to give the recipient information. It's a message designed to actualize, to catalyze, to activate, to launch out, right? The gun has gone off. We need to leave the starting blocks and advance into the purposes of the Lord for our lives. So I'm going to use the PowerPoint presentation, Dean, if you can help me, just to navigate through our series. Everyone say divine release. Divine release. So, Pastor Thomas said this: I received a deep conviction that our Father has removed the spirit of restraint from over our family. And this while he was in Botswana. Okay, let's go back first. Right. So, I said to you, it's not a rival, it's release. Tell your neighbor, it's not a rival, it's release. I'm saying this so that don't ever think that because we are now going to go into a new level of advance, that everything is fine with us. No, we're not. We're not perfect, but we are advancing, right? And last week, I went through pains to illustrate to you that in the scripture, God knew in his wisdom when to deal with certain inaccuracies in his chosen vessels at different times, all the while still using them, right? All the while still using them. So the anointing on your life might not necessarily be acid proof that God is entirely happy with everything you are or doing, right? But God at least wants a pure heart that is poised towards him. Was David perfect? No, but David's heart was after God. A man whose heart is after me. At least there is that that level of pursuit, that level of longing, that level of gravitation towards what God has in store. Let's go on, Dean. Now, this is critical for us to understand that it's not the enemy. That's the false assumption. It's not the enemy that was capping us or preventing us from going forward. It was literally the Lord, right? So that's the false assumption, that the enemy is stopping. Listen carefully. The enemy does resist. Please don't misunderstand me. Like, for example, you will read in the book of Acts, Paul said he wanted to go to a certain region, but Satan hindered us. Remember? Maybe another time you read, and he wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus hindered us. So you've got to distinguish between when is Satan actively resisting you, and when is God saying, no, not now. And usually God says, no, not now, because there are certain things that he needs to form and prepare you within your character. So the spiritual reality is that the Father sovereignly has imposed the limit, the restraint, or the boundary, right? This is critical for your understanding. God in his wisdom will not entrust greater authority, governance, and influence to a people who have not been sufficiently formed to steward them. Do not be under any misnomer that you can expect a greater level of providence, a greater sphere of impact, without the requisite internal character preparation to accommodate what God wants to use you for in that next dimension. It is therefore, in my conclusion, self-delusional. You don't know. You know, self-delusion or self-deception is a difficult thing to persuade someone that they have been succumbed to that. How do you argue with someone who is self-deceived? And the very nature of self-deception tells the person, or tells you, that the person actually doesn't know they are being deceived. And they are being deceived not by others, but self. It's they are deceiving themselves, and they hold to a strong position. And you on the outside can see clearly they're going on the wrong path. But they have this view, and it's usually confident. It's usually arrogant, it's usually highly opinionated, it's usually prideful, but you can see, my bro, my sister, if I can only get into your mind and show you, the path you are on is not going to work for you, right? I often say to people, so you're maintaining your pride. I don't often say to people, I think this, I would like to say to some people, so you're holding on to your pride, how is that working for you? What are the results and the outcomes of this in your life, right? Or you're holding on to your unforgiveness. How is that working out for you? You're holding on to that bitterness. How is that reaping results positively for you? I always say to people, self-diagnose and self-correct. Tell your neighbor, self-diagnose and self-correct. These are statements of Sam Solin. Remember he said this once? Years ago, I'll never forget. And he said it to us, it was years ago at an apostolic school of ministry, hosted by Pastor Thamo, and Dr. Sam stood up and he said very governmentally, was charged to the whole school. He said, the immature son, listen to me carefully, the immature son obeys God to escape the consequences of disobedience. Huh? So some people will tithe to escape the devourer, right? And he says that's immaturity. If the focus of your obedience is to simply escape the consequences of disobedience, that's immaturity. But he said this, the mature son obeys simply because he loves God, irrespective of consequences. My impetus for my obedience is not because I don't want to be the victim of the consequences of disobedience. I just want to love God. I just want to please God. I just want to obey God. So even if let's say JC offends me. And now the biblical requirement is what? Should I forgive him or not? Come talk to me, should I forgive him or not? So immaturity thinks like this. I better forgive JC, because if I don't forgive him, I am going to cause grace to leak, because the Bible says that bitterness, Hebrews 12:15, bitterness frustrates the grace of God. So I don't forgive JC with the idea of I need to forgive him to escape the consequences negatively of unforgiveness in my life or bitterness in my life. I even don't forgive JC so that I do not be forgiven by God, although the scriptures say that. Have you ever seen on Facebook specifically, forgive the other for your own sake? Yeah? You've seen that? Forgiving the other is like setting yourself free from prison. You've seen this on Facebook? It sounds nice, but not biblical. Right? So why should I forgive JC? I should forgive JC as a representation of the forgiveness of Christ. When Christ forgives me, he forgives me for my sake, that I be the primary beneficiary of his forgiveness. So I don't forgive JC for my sake. I forgive JC for JC's sake. Right? That he might go free. Tell your neighbor, grow up, please. Grow up. Right? So I'm saying this to all of you. Listen carefully. Don't be under any misnomer that you will not come into harvest everything you do, everything you say, every attitude you think is a seed. Everything. Attitudinally, behaviorally, everything you do is casting seed for a future harvest. And I always tell people, if you don't like your harvest presently, well, change your seed. Do you know that nothing is a seed? Nothing is a seed for nothing. Nothing is a seed for the harvest call, nothing. You can't hope to get anything until you do something. Dr. Segi said that, remember? He said, nothing is a seed for nothing. Yeah? You got to sow. I was with the children. We were celebrating his birthday, Luke's birthday. When? Friday. It was a Friday. You see how all I'm getting. 25 years old, our third born son. And we were at Spur. So a reverend from the Catholic Church on the bluff there walked in. I didn't know him. I've been to two services where I attended a funeral where he was officiating. A reverend, I forget his name, Foley. So I saw him with two young men. Obviously, the Lord said to me, pay his bill. So I'm looking at this. Is they far in the other end of the restaurant? We are about to leave, so we're walking out. So I just went to the cashier. I said, that guy with the two young guys, please, can I pay his bill? And they said, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da. And she said, usually I'll just walk out and then go on my way. She said, I think you should tell him that you've paid his bill. I said, oh, it's fine, don't worry. Just tell him someone sorted his bill out. And then the lady was very insistent. I said, please, just tell him. She was more excited than me. I said, please, just tell him. Okay, I went. I introduced myself. Hi, Reverend. I'm Randolph. I just want to bless you. Your bill's been paid. You are so grateful. Thank you very much, etc. So I left. It was very quick. So I got a message from him later that day. I don't know how he got my number because we've never met. He obviously did some research. But what a powerful blessing. I shared it with our family group. I think, what a powerful blessing. So in my heart, I said, I received the blessing from this man of God. So as we were leaving, Luke said, do you know him? This guy said, no, I don't know him. I know that he's a minister there. I've been to two services where he officiated a funeral. But he recognized me, the reverend. He said, I think I know you from somewhere. Have I seen you in? I said, you probably did see me, etc. But I received the blessing. So Luke said, but you don't know him. I said, yes, but he's a man of God. And I honor men of God. I don't need a Bible study. I don't need a case study. I don't need a word to prompt me. I could have done nothing and walked out and reaped a harvest called nothing. I did something. I put some seed in the ground. Tell your neighbor, at least do something, guys. You put some seed in the ground, right? We sold into this conference. That seed in the ground. Wait for the harvest. And don't judge me when I'm in harvest time and you didn't know me when I was in seed time. Okay? Because harvest time is coming. Tell your neighbor, harvest time is coming. Let me just say this. You will all reap, good or bad. Whatever seeds you've sown, you are going to reap. All of our young people, you know the culture of this house. Just stand quickly. All the young people, just stand. And young adults. Okay, let's just extend the age, because I see some young adults standing when I say young adults. So let's just include them, not so that anybody is left out of this grace. Okay. If it's the whole church, stand one time. Let's just include everybody. Okay. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Listen, I'm gonna pray that God gives you capacity to pay for things. Starts with an attitude of generosity. You go into any restaurant, you look for opportunities. You be faithful with your first fruits, your tithes and offerings. You be generous in your disposition to beggars at robots, as far as you can help it. You say, God, I'm going to position my life as a seed sower, generous at that, at every level. If you are faithful with natural things, God will make you a steward over spiritual things. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, in simple childlike faith, we want to be like you. That's all. You, Father, are the greatest, most generous giver there is. All good gifts come from you, Father of lights. And I ask, give capacity to everyone. These hands are open, not just to receive. These hands are open to give. I ask, as we take steps of faith to bless others, to be other person-minded, that, oh God, that you would grace us with your capacity. Grace us with an ability, Father, to give like we've never given before, beyond the boundaries. You said the spirit of restraint has been lifted. I pray the spirit of restraint over giving will be lifted in Jesus' name. Let there be unrestraint. Let there be lavish generosity across all sectors, in all domains of our lives. May we just ooze the providence and the blessing of the Lord to people that need it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just tell the neighbor next to you, I receive that grace. This is serious to me. You know why? We're thinking unrestrained, unrestrained, let's go. How about being unrestrained in your generosity? Be unrestrained and just give something away. Many people have 21 days of fasting. How about 21 days of giving? Give something away every day for 21 days and see what God does. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go on, Dean. Now, this segment is critically important. It was a two-line statement that Pastor Thamo made in his missive. So I just want to focus on one or two aspects of this. There were four things that he mentioned. Now, through the years, everyone say through the years. So this is a view of the past. He's saying, what has happened up to this point? Through the years of restraint, when God was capping us in a sense, God was patiently and progressively aligning us to his original intent. That is what God was doing, right? In what areas? Enlarged assignment and responsibility. You can see four pillars there. Everyone say pillar. Not pillow. Don't go to sleep now, please. It's pillar, right? Four pillars, right? And Pastor Thamo made four specific statements. Now, I take everything he says quite literally and seriously, and even if it is a one-sentence line. This was basically a one-sentence line. But for me, when I saw the architecture behind it. That's why I asked Notebook to generate this. I saw the design, because apostles think design. They think structurally. And he said, over the past years, certain pillars have been restored to us. And he itemized these as restoring sonship, number one, reforming doctrine and thinking, number two, establishing covenantal relationships, number three, and then building a spiritual architecture. The Father always prepares his sons before he enlarges their assignments. Our formation is now sufficient to carry his purposes in the earth, right? Just very quickly, each of these could be a session on its own, but we literally don't have time for that. Hasn't there not been in recent years a preponderance of teachings on sonship? Yes? Do you need another lesson? Both divine sonship and spiritual sonship. Do we accept the fact that we are God's sons? Yeah? And that we must relate to a spiritual father? Yes? Right? These things must never be lost. What ails my heart is we spend tons of time, years of teachings on something. And yet many of us that have been privy to these things for as long as they have been taught, we now drop the ball on certain of these things. And so it's like the word has been released, but it hasn't been incarnated, right? I fear, part of me fears sometimes that we cover things in breadth, but not in depth. It's not anchored, right? I don't ever need another Bible study about spiritual sonship. I know who my father is. I know what's expected of me. I know the accountability. I know the systems of honor. I know the protocols involved. We've been taught these things ad nauseum, right? We've been taught these things over and over again. Now it's time. I want to challenge the house. It's now time to earth these things such that you don't move off from them again. I don't need another lesson on how to honor my fathers in Christ. It's an established pig. I don't need a Bible study. I don't need a reminder why I've installed the principle as a pillar. Everyone say pillar. Some of these truths aren't pillars in your life. They're not solid. They crack and they fade and they break. And I'm saying, if God is saying the spirit of restraint has been moved, then consolidate the principles that have been taught. Don't let go. You know what Peter said? He said, I say these things to you as I've said to them in the past. But I repeat myself that you might be established in the present truth. If we need establishment in present truth, truth that is presently coming to you, you must be established in, firm, fixed, okay? So I want to encourage you, church, let's not lose what we have attained. There's a lovely portion in Hebrews 2 which speaks about drift. Me paraphrase, he says, the writer of Hebrews does, he says this, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. It's like we've heard things. Give more earnest heed to what you heard historically. And he said this so that we don't escape a salvation so great, lest we drift and we come into escaping the salvation that God has in store for us. You know, and I paraphrase what Paul said to the Romans. He said this in Romans 16. He said, I thank God that you Romans continue in the pattern of doctrine that you have received. You continue in the pattern of doctrine. Do we need another long session on sonship? Do we need really in this church a long session on spiritual fathering? Do we really need another session on honor? Hasn't that been established? Can't we move on to new things, to higher things? And I'm saying the spirit of restraint has been lifted. For me, it's also a subtle reminder that what you have attained, don't let slip. It is easy once you've covered ground in the Spirit to in moments start to leak grace attached to the levels of historical obedience. Don't let the grace leak. I'm calling upon this whole house. Please hear me. I'm your father in Christ. I'm calling upon you all for greater vigilance. I'm calling upon you all for greater seriousness. Don't be flagrant in your mind. Don't be dismissive in your thinking. Don't be casual in your comments. Watch every seed sown, every seed attitudinally, vocally, behaviorally, because everything will come to an abundant harvest. Harvest time is coming. A pillar, restored sonship, restoring doctrine and thinking. Haven't we focused on doctrine a lot? Yeah. And I think of the schools, just all the topics. It's amazing how God, over the past 30 years, has been building line upon line, precept upon precept. Right? We need to go back and revisit these things. For many of you, for whom you have been exposed to them, it's now time to become the Word, and the Word must become flesh. Everyone say incarnation. Incarnation. Just live it. Just stop being flippant. Stop being casual with comments. Just come to a deeper place of seriousness. For me, the spirit of restraint means new responsibility. It means I cannot go into the new season with the attitudes of the old season, not so. That cannot happen. I have to go in with a new mindset. A new season demands a new mindset. Everyone say new mindset. Yeah? New mindset. It's serious. Establishing covenantal relationships. Have I not been begging you literally to see everybody here as your family? I've literally been beckoning you, begging you, pleading with you. Don't see your brother as part of another. He's a member of that family. No, that's my family. Right? Lifa is my brother. Lifa. He knows the sound. Every time we meet. He's not another brother from another network. He's my brother. I will die for him. I say this to you publicly. I'll give my life for him if the chips come down to that. I almost lost my life yesterday, but as Coach knows, there was a little scuffle that developed. Immediately, I saw one of our stewards, our ambassadors there. I gravitated there because my heart was, if chips come down here, they will know another expression of fivefold ministry. But I give my life for that man. I don't see him as I better only look after my own. And I beg you, brethren, be family. Don't just see your biological family as your family. When are we going to migrate to the level where we love each other equally? When? Let not this pillar be broken. It's a pillar. Some of you are angry. I can see your faces. Right? Repent. Just repent and adjust your position. This is the word of the Lord. Yeah? Because until we are family, we cannot do God's business as a family. Okay? Everyone say family. Family. So, what about fatherly regard? Regard your father in the Lord highly. Regard your brothers as family. Let's move off as strong pillars in the house of the Lord. Gate Global is hosting the economic conference next week, or KZN Gate. We're critical to that process. Why will I make extensive sacrifices for it? Why will I be present in every prayer meeting in the build-up to it? Why would I sacrifice my finances to facilitate its effective management? Why will I be there early every day this week, an hour before meeting start? You will find me there. Why will I do these things? My father has grace to impart to the province. As a son, I'm an Aaron and a Hur. I hold up his hands. When I walk in those doors, eight sons, I'm Baruch. I'm better than seven. These things we've taught. but we don't see them actualized. Yeah. When does Father's business take priority over every other thing that is pulling for my attention? When does we say the words like Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O Lord? When do we say, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work? Otherwise, these become cliched statements. They become Christianese or apostolicese, maybe. But they are not reality. Right? So this must become reality. And then the architecture. Everyone say architecture. I want you to see yourself as a building of a framework within yourself. You're building a solid infrastructure within your life that God has need then to bestow upon you greater levels of responsibility. Just quickly, Galatians 2 verse 9, in this respect, I just want to draw reference to one verse of scripture in reference to this. So, in the province of Galatia, the Galatians, the book was written to the churches in the province of Galatia. Paul, as you know, killed Christians, wasn't well received. Through the efforts of Barnabas, Barnabas took him and introduced him to the original 12. Because people were suspicious of him. Just like, you know, maybe he's a terrorist, spy, claiming he's saved, now coming into the precincts of the church. His history is he persecutes and kills Christians. But, watch this. So he's commenting on how the Galatian church received him, recognizing the grace. Everyone say, recognize grace. So grace that you cannot perceive, you cannot receive. Grace must be perceived. They looked beyond Saul of Tarsus. They looked to a man filled with grace, filled with anointing, filled with doctrine that's going to bless them, right? Recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, were they not the three inner circle of disciples? Yes. Remember Jesus had the 12. There was the three, Peter, James, and John. And there was John was closest. His head was always on Jesus's bosom. Remember that? Yeah. Then it says, they were reputed to be what? Pillars. Gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They entered into fellowship, covenantal joinings with us. They received us because what did they do? They recognized grace. We would go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews, the circumcised, right? Now, tell your neighbor, you must be a pillar in the house. Must be a pillar. And this has always been my desire in reference to my spiritual father, that in his great house, Gate Global, when he sees me, he can say, I can lean on that one. That one won't crack. That one won't fold. There's steel in him. Right? Years ago, Apostle Howie Baker gave me a prophecy. Remember in Moore Road, those of you who are present there? And he gave me a prophecy that God's going to make you a father of many, but he needs to process you and take you to the fire. And he said these words, but he will develop steel in your back so that when the pressure's on, you will not crack. I like it even rhymes, steel in your back so you won't crack. Right? Steel in your back so when the pressure's on, you won't fold. I pray that all of you, like Peter, James, and John, they had this repute. I like this, the word repute. They were reputed. Where is it? They were reputed to be pillars. Huh? What is your repute when people think of you? Says, wow, Newman. Instructor Newman. That's his IG handle. Don't play. Instructor Newman. When I think of that man, solid pillar. Not fragile, not erratic, not up one day, down the next day. I can rely on that one. Same, he's like Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changes from glory to glory. Yeah? What is your repute? What image do people conjure up concerning you? Right? And I want to encourage you guys Let your reputation be known as one of solidity and one of strength. I was in conversation, I think last week or so, and someone's name came up. And the person just had negative things to say about the person. And I was at pains to defend the person, but then I realized I can't. Because when facts are presented to you, even if you want to defend, your mouth is closed. I said, what is the level of your reputation out there? Now, if anything, you want to be strong, become a pillar. You know, biblically, we can do a whole session on pillars. A pillar is literally someone in whom God can stand as erect. A pillar, like a palm tree, like Tamar in the Old Testament. An erect pillar, an erect person in the house of the Lord. Amen. So can we get these four things right? Dean, those YouTube things. So when I was thinking about this, and, you know, the pillar on doctrine, reforming doctrine over the years, I just went to our YouTube channel and I called up all the playlists. So these aren't videos. These are playlists. There's like stacks of videos behind each of these representations, right? And you can just look at the cursory glance there. Go to the next one. I think there's two or three. And another one, right? And so there's tons of videos behind each of these. These are playlists having like 15, 16 videos behind each of them. Go back to the other one right now. All I'm saying is we've covered so much ground. Let's not lose what we've attained. Yeah? Let's not lose what we've covered, right? The ground has been covered. Let's go to the next slide. So there's a mental shift that must take place in all of us. Watch this. We're shifting paradigms. A paradigm is, it's not just a viewpoint. It's a system that you hold within the mind by which you view a thing, right? When you have a paradigm shift, it's not just a change of thought. It's a change of internal architecture by which you see the thing. And so the past season, in terms of our spiritual state, God is saying, you're leaving immaturity or formation, and we are ready. God is deeming us mature. All I'm saying is, the release is not condemnation of error. God is not saying, I release you, therefore I'm totally happy with everything you are. God is saying, release and go for it. I will be with you and I will probe you and I will mature you and I will deal with certain things in your life as you go. So always be vigilant. In my view, spiritual formation is an onward progressive thing. Sanctification until Jesus comes. Not so? Until Jesus comes. In terms of divine posture, God is no longer limiting. I know we've experienced this, right? We've sacrificed our net income, at least my own, for the past 3 months. And I can't, if you talk to me, so how did you manage? My response is, God is able. Right? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. Please remember this, God gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give seed to the non-sower. Right? So if you start to practice sowing, God will bless you. Right? If your disposition is, I want to be the greatest giver I know, you will see and experience the blessing of the Lord upon your life. So the season of sovereign limitation is now a season of divine release. The limits are off. But behaviorally, you can't behave like the limits are still on. Yeah? The limits are off. So begin to think, begin to plan, begin to live like you are in a new orbit of reality. Right? And the new season does demand new responsibility. The scope, and this is what I really like. The scope was previously one of restricted reach. I'm longing to do a session soon regarding the growth of the church numerically. But I know that our reach is going to escalate. It's going to reach, we'll reach more and more people. There's a lovely text in 2 Corinthians, and I paraphrase. It's in my notes somewhere, but let me just say it to you. Paul said this to Corinth. He said, my grace will even reach to areas and people beyond you when your faith has increased. Paul is saying the limits of my reach while I am called and I'm full of grace, right? It's only legitimized to grow beyond you when in you there is an increased faith. Everyone say increased faith. I'm asking all, especially leaders in this house, if you're active in any function, in any department, you got to increase your faith steps. Everyone say increase faith steps. Right? You increase the temperature. You take the next level. And you do it by faith. Okay? Do it by faith. So there's an enlarged sphere of responsibility. The requirement, however, is previously was what we were patient and we were submitted in a sense of being restricted. Understanding that we're not ready yet, God is still busy with us, we submitted to his dealings, submitted to his processes. But now the Spirit of the Lord says we must venture forth with new courage, wisdom, and faithful stewardship. I love that term. Everyone say faithful stewardship. Now you've got to come to the place where nothing is yours. The cell phone is not mine. If I'm a steward of it, it belongs to God. If God says, give it to someone, I will say, no problem, owner. You're the owner of it all. I'm just taking care of it. If you want me to release it, in essence, I haven't given it. You have. I'm simply the conduit. You do not think ownership. Think stewardship. Steward is a manager of somebody else's property, not so? You're the manager of another person's assets. And the moment you start to think like this, you must study the parables of the stewards in the gospel. The faithful steward, right? The scrupulous steward. They were stewarding the assets of another's that they didn't belong to. Do you remember, for example, the guy who buried his talent? Yeah? Why did he bury his talent? He said, because I know you. Master, you are a hard taskmaster. You reap where you haven't sown. I was afraid. Remember the guy with five double, the guy with three double, the guy with one buried it. And he buried it because of a wrong perception of the owner of the asset. Right? And then when the master came and said, you wicked steward, you should have at least taken it and put it into the bank and earn some interest, right? And he was banished to outer darkness. Sometimes we bury our talents, we bury our skills, we bury our resources because we have a negative view of Father, our God, our Father, that he's going to, if we fail, he's going to judge us unnecessarily or vindictively, right? And I want to challenge you all. Don't bury your gift when you need to release it. It's not yours to bury, please. God owns it. It's yours to steward, and faithful stewardship demands multiplication. The guy with five got five. The guy with three, another three. The guy with one didn't multiply, and he was judged for it. Everybody think like this. I'll do a special session on this in the Marketplace series later on. But each of you, before you die, must have multiplied something. Something was given to you, and you've exited the planet. And when you get to the other side of glory, God must say, hey, I've come check you. Let me show you the earth from my perspective. See what you did there? There's it there. It's multiplied. It's grown. Right? Don't let your gifts and talents die with you. They must exponentialize, and they must multiply. Okay, they must exponentialize and they must multiply. But if we are going to be in a place called greater faithful stewardship. Stewardship is a mindset. This is a paradigm shift. It's not my car, but lovely Isuzu MUX. What if God says to me, release it? It's not yours. I just gave you as a steward. What if God said, release that 50,000 rand? It's not yours, right? I want to, you know, I long to get to the place where I give 1 million rand away. That's my goal, right? I'm giving hundreds of thousands presently. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting bored of it. Saying, God, capacity. Everyone say capacity, right? Remember the parable or that story with the young guy, young boy who was offered a lift by this rich man in his wonderful sports car. Remember that illustration? Poor little child given a lift by a rich tycoon. Lovely sports car. They're driving, speed. Oh, you know, young boys fascinated with speed, new cars, etc. So he asked the guy, oh, how much was this car? He said, I don't actually know because it was a gift from my brother. My brother gave me this gift. And the little boy said, oh, wow. Wow. You know, he was, wow. And the owner of the vehicle said, well, you wowed. You like the car, eh? He says, no, I want to be like your brother. He was more wowed by the fact that someone could give this level of gift away, right? It is still, last time I checked, it is still more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come into the blessed estate of a capacity to give like you've never given before. Give like you've never given before. Okay, let's move on, Dean. We got 10 minutes and we'll be able to do this. Now, this is critically important. Please watch this. You see the eye there in the high tower? I like the way they depicted this. So it's a watchtower. It's elevated and there's a perception. This is Prophet Anthony Earle, a picture of the prophetic that sees from an elevated vantage point where on a lateral level, you cannot see the thing for what it is. So he said this. Everyone say prophetic intelligence. Advancement, right? This is the view of advancement. According to a prophetic dream received by Anthony Earle, the current spiritual landscape is defined by sudden explosive movements. And you know, when I think of sometimes if this prophecy, and you, this church has had this word for a few weeks now, but I'm not seeing the mentality. I'm seeing recession. I'm not seeing progression. I'm seeing things regress attitudinally. I'm not seeing, oh, we have the right mindset for the advance prepared for us. And I'm begging the church, believe the prophets and you will prosper. Believe God, you will be established. Believe what his prophets said and you will be established. Don't let despondency shorten your spirit. So when good news comes to you, like I said last week, you can't even believe good news because of a regress attitudinally, right? This is serious to me. And I want to encourage you, the advance has been launched, right? Sons are empowered. This is what he said. Sons are empowered and advancing throughout their regions. This was his view of the great global church. He said he sees this like sons are busy. There's a conference next week. There's movement. There's things happening. The message is owned personally and proclaimed with conviction, with clarity and power. There is unmistakable momentum as the vision is carried into new spheres of influence. Now, I want to encourage you, imbibe this spirit. Imbibe this momentum. Insert it as a reality into your system. Don't adopt any position that will cause slowdown, retardation, hopefully not total abortion. You can be in a moment in God and receive a word of a great visitation and not experience it. There's too many biblical case studies to demonstrate this. And I pray, my biggest fear is that we are in the most powerful moment we've ever been. and yet we're not exhibiting the requisite mindset to push it forward. Right? Now, I am your father in Christ. I have the right to speak to you like this. Yes? I have the right to speak and to... You see, if you didn't need a father, then carry on without one. But a father is there to steer you, there to direct you, there to note that, hey, we are moving off, or you are, there's a slight detour here, there's a different trajectory there, we need to get back online. Okay? Let's go on. Now, this, and maybe I'll explain this in a bit more detail next week. This is critical. These three things. Everyone say slow, distract, distort. Anthony said this, slow, distract, distort. He says, while there's been this release, there's been this momentum, there's been this surge to advance. He says, be careful. A prophet gave us a warning, which I take very seriously. Now, you can personalize this. Take all of this and apply it to your own life. I want to say this to you. The gun has gone off. There's a surge ahead in every way. You must be careful of three things. The enemy will come against you. You see, if he cannot destroy the work of God, he will attempt to slow it down, distract it, or distort it. Right? Slow, distract, and distort. Impede the progress. So you slow down the momentum. Right? Are you waiting for 2027 for the New Year service to get activated again? Are we going to really go that way? No. Tell your neighbor, Happy New Year. Let's start now. Happy New Year. Let's just get on. Don't wait for some great word. Now is the start of new beginnings. Yeah? It's the start of a brand new era. Momentum has gone, and my biggest fear, like I said, is that if he cannot stop the work of God, he will attempt to slow it down. Let me keep Gate Ministries here in the same thing for the next 2 years. Right? Keep them happy with their spinning, going in circles. You have compassed this mountain long enough. It's time to go ahead. Yeah? Right? And I'm saying to you, stop circularizing. Stop going in the Galilee principle. Galilee means circle, cycle, circular. You're moving, but you're not covering ground because you're moving but staying in the same position. Okay? It's time to venture forth. I beg of each of us, church, please, don't slow us down. Tell your neighbor, don't slow me down. Sitting next to your wife, don't slow me down, honey, or your partner, your brother, don't slow me down, sister. You know, I'll speak to this next week, but obedience is now corporate. Daniel teaches this us very, very powerfully. Obedience is, there's a corporate responsibility, right, in our acts of obedience. And then the second issue that the enemy will attempt is to distract. Distraction is serious, eh? It's a diversion of attention. Divert attention, focus away from the primary assignment. In fact, I had a verse here from the book of Timothy. You see, if the enemy cannot destroy, he distracts. I want to appeal to the house. You know, nobody knows they're being distracted until somebody else points it out to you. Yeah? What do you spend your time on will tell me what you prioritize. Where is your time spent? What are the subjects of your conversation whenever you do speak? That tells me where your devotion lies. Okay? And I want to encourage you, don't be detoured in this season. Don't be distracted. Be instead obsessively focused upon going to a new place in God. Nobody arrives at a new place in God by fluke. You're not going to stumble into a new higher position in God. You have to deliberately negotiate your way there. Right? You have to plan to grow spiritually. Yeah? You have to say, I'm going to go to a new place in God. In reference to this, Listen to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Timothy, in fact, the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, three letters of Paul known as pastoral letters, not written to churches, written to people, individuals, to his like-minded son, his blue-eyed boy, I call Paul and Timothy, had a special relationship. He said to Timothy, Timothy's a young man, eh? See, Timothy gives him tons of instructions. Chapter 4, verse 15 is the culmination of whatever he said in the whole of chapter 1, whole of chapter 2, whole of chapter 3. He starts the first 14 verses in chapter 4. He comes to verse 15 and he stops. He says, my son, Timothy, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to everybody. Listen to me. Whatever you absorbed in becomes evident to everybody. What you give yourself to will eventually showcase itself outwardly. For those of you in the fitness community, you know the rigor and the discipline of regular workouts. Won't that be evident to all? Okay? Right? It'll show in many ways, right? Some of the guys went for the first time yesterday without training. And you know the results, brethren. Your bodies are talking today. Yeah? Listen to the same verse in the NLT. Or rather, let's just finish this. Tell your neighbor, take pains. I like the words, be absorbed in it. Be absorbed in it. I'm studying in the next course, actually the whole book of Judges. And next term starting in the new month for my sets, my theological course. And I said this week I'm starting the reading, even though the course starts in August, right? I have to know every story in the book of Judges. How's that? It's a long book too. But God said to me, Randolph, prepare. You might not even preach from the book. You don't study for preaching. You study for development. Yeah? And I have to carve out 2 hours, 3 hours a day plowing through the book of Judges. What is God up to? When I enrolled for the course, for my new course for next term, God gave me this verse, be absorbed in it. Give yourself to it so that when you stand, others can see where you've been living. You are living in the book of Judges. Yeah? What are you absorbed in? What pulls your attention? Some of us can binge on Netflix series for weeks, never mind days. And when I see you, I see N all over your face. I know what you've been up to. Be careful of distractions. Be careful of time wasting. Be careful of detours. We all love entertainment and leisure, not so we watch. Amen. It's also our time together as well. We love watching a series and we comment. We love thrillers, etc. We love anticipating and guessing what the outcome would be. It makes for a great conversation, right? But don't become obsessed by the thing, right? Coach, we love you, but we're not obsessed by fitness, are we? Yeah? We fit because we want to have healthy bodies to execute the purposes of the Lord. So let me ask your neighbor quickly, so what are you absorbed in? Just ask them, what are you absorbed in? How about having a goal, like you say, you choose a book of the Bible. Say, for the next 3 months, Psalms, I'll be feasting, I'll be greedy for the Psalms. I'm going to be camping, filling my heart, filling my mind. Or I'll take one of the playlists, one of the series. I'm going to master this thing. I'm going to be absorbed in it, right? I remember when it came to economics, biblical economic concepts, like for a whole year, when the First Fruits first came out, there was not a document written on the subject. I studied nothing else in the scripture. I said, if this is of God, I want to know. And I immersed my mind, right? So whatever you absorbed in, you become. Not so, right? And obedience becomes Obedience becomes effortless. Listen and look into the next verse. If you absorb, your progress will be evident to all. Timothy, pay close attention. Like I've been speaking to you today. I hope no one's offended here, please. If you're offended, you shouldn't be here. Honestly, I'm your father in Christ. Listen to me. Paul said this to Timothy, my son, pay close attention to it. Right? This is the father speaking to a son. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere. Persevere means don't like hit and go back. It means go and you stay, brother. You plug in. You dive in. You stay the course. Yes. Persevere in these things, not those things. The things I am telling you. And if you do this, you will ensure salvation for yourself and for everybody else that will listen to you as you preach. Listen to the same verse in the NLT. It says this. I like this. It says, give complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into these tasks that everyone might see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those that hear you. The ESV, I love it, says it like this. Timothy, practice these things. Immerse yourself into them so that everyone will see your progress. Immersion into these things. Let's go back to the, we'll end with this last slide. The previous one, yeah. So everyone say slow, distract, distort. Don't let anything slow it down. Don't be like, now is not the time for your energies and for your attention to be so diluted. You're everywhere except where you should be. You're everywhere except where you should be. Right? And then distort means to twist the effectiveness and the clarity of the message that has been proclaimed. Distortion is a satanic thing, where truth is proclaimed, but the enemy tries to, like just a slight, you know, distortion is not wholesale, flagrant, coming up against what is true. It maintains aspects of the truth with minor distortions to dilute the authority behind that truth. People say, yes, I believe in this, but the moment you say but, it's like you're subtly giving an addendum to the aspect of truth that you seek to proclaim. And so the intent is to remain undistorted, undiluted, undistracted. Let me end with this last one and then we close because it bears reference to what we've been saying all along. Go to the next one, Dean. This is what I like. Remember he said this. The enemy will come against you, right? And he said, whenever the Lord announces an unrestrained season of kingdom advancement, we should anticipate resistance from an adversary. And the message said this very clearly at the bottom here. The resistance is not because the enemy possesses greater authority, but simply because he seeks to hinder what God has ordained to flourish. I like that. Repeat this after me. Say, God has ordained to flourish. Right? So watch this. Whenever God has ordained something to flourish, the enemy comes up against it. So if the enemy comes up against you, know this, you're doing something right. The enemy, we often think the enemy will come in. Yes, sometimes he does through disobedience. But he's more antagonistic when we are on the path of obedience. And he will seek to oppose that which is of God. And please know this, all of you. The present level of assault is because there's an ordained flourishing that God has in mind. The flourishing is not a perhaps. It's an ordained reality that's going to happen in the process of your executing divine will and divine progress. Okay? So there is an advance. There is a movement towards finish. We might as well finish. There's just 2 slides left. And then we'll close. Guard the vessel. Tell someone, guard the vessel. Guard the vessel. Now is the time to protect your, if you look at this graphic, it's a time, the inner life, right? Your thoughts, your vigilance, the white ring there, fortify your homes and your families. Focus on building your marriage. Focus on building your relationship with your children. Fortify the home front. That's going to be very, very, very critically important. We're doing 2 marriage seminars coming up soon, okay? And I think God is saying something in this regard. So fortify your homes, prioritize your spouse. Let me just say this to you. Your spouse is your most important priority at this stage. And all the spouses said, come on, all the spouses said. And your children are your most important priority at this stage. All the children said. Children, I can't hear you. All the children said. Right. And for children, your parents are your most important priority at this stage. And all the parents said. Come on, parents. Now's your time for a loud amen. Amen. All I'm saying is, what's the point? We are bombastic and spiritual outside. And we come home to weakness or to destruction. Now is the time to intensify all your relationships domestically. This is, everyone say, guard the vessel. A lovely graphic I did, I'll show you in the week, where there's a shield and the vessel is, guard the vessel, right? Keep it pure. And the outer ring, strengthen your spiritual disciplines and leadership cover. Disciplines like fasting, praying, giving is a discipline. All of these spiritual disciplines, strengthen them. We are personally fasting tomorrow. It's with the conference in mind. Please join us if you are inclined to. Fast and pray on Monday. Just be in a spirit of prayer that God's purposes attached to the conference will be realized. Amen? Amen. Two more, then we're done. Let's leave this because of time. I want to go to the last one. Leave that because of time. Yeah. The closing statement that was said by Pastor Thamo is this. May the Lord strengthen our gates, fortify our houses, preserve our families, continue to give us discernment to recognize every strategy of the adversary while advancing boldly into everything that he has prepared for us. Right? The restraint has been lifted. The responsibility has been increased. May we be found faithful. Amen. That's the prayer of our spiritual oversight of us. May we be found faithful in Christ. Amen. Amen. You receive the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Jesse, come. It's a day of release. Even in your businesses and in your work fronts, we pray the blessing of the Lord will expand. Shane, you and your wife, even in the business front, there'll be, this restraint has been lifted. There's now advance into new sectors. Believe and venture forth like this. I don't know why, but I wanted to pray for Jody and Rhea. Quickly come here. I felt this at the beginning of the service. It slipped my mind. I'm looking at you and I suddenly remember this. Just come here quickly before we pray for the general house. I know you're busy with stuff there, but it's not as important as what we're going to release over you. So you face the congregation. Stand in the middle. Camera's for you, brother. You're always behind that camera. What an incredible couple. When I came in this morning, I didn't plan to do this, but God gave me a word instantly and I saw you at the back. We were just setting up, I was just greeting people and I saw you there. And in my heart, I was so thankful and grateful. You can look at the camera, not me. I was so grateful and thankful for, it's a kind of couple that is structurally strong, pillars in the house, right? And they work quietly without fanfare. They work excellently without fanfare, without the recruit of attention, of applause or regard, but yet faithful. And when I came in and I saw you, I was greeting people and my eyes caught you. And the Lord said to me, I regard them. I heard these words, Lord, I regard them and you will too. And I want the house to just appreciate their efforts. Thank God, Jody, you found Riel. I don't know who found who, but whatever, however this thing connected, I'm grateful. Because it's like they, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh has come together. And two found each other, not just for love's sake, two found each other for the kingdom's sake. Two found each other for divine purpose. I want you to know, and I speak this word behind you, not in front of you, because I want to demonstrate that God is behind you. God's got your back. And the Lord will always be your portion, declares the Lord. The Lord today regards you highly in the Lord, both of you. The Lord smiles upon you. The Lord's favor exponentially increases upon your life. The Lord says He will prepare you structurally now, even for greater things. For indeed you have been faithful in the small natural things, and He will now make you stewards over bigger. You've been faithful in the little you've had. Now the Lord says He will give you stewardship over eternal riches and over other areas of responsibility that will amaze you when they come to you. The Lord says, never will you lack, for I will be your great and your exceeding reward, declares the Lord. As the Lord came to Daniel, the Lord comes to you, the two of you, and He says, oh, my son and my daughter, highly esteemed by me. I want you to know, and let all heaven regard this day, the high estimation of heaven over you this day. Do not ever again think of yourselves lesser than what I deemed you to be, declares the Lord. There is no words to describe the worth that you possess, both of you, in terms of stature, regality, humility, submission, obedience, and honor before the Lord. The Lord says, this day it's recorded in the heavens. Heaven's regard for you. Let all our angels and the hosts of them note this regarding you. And let them always be standing at attention to minister to you who have become heirs of His great salvation. I want the church to stand and point your hands toward them. Renee, you want to join me? Father, I ask in your great name and the name of your great Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that these pillars in the house of God be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I thank you, O God, that the hidden place, the back place, with the unseen place, is seen by heaven this day. I pray strength to Jody and Riel. I ask, O God, that heaven fill them with every necessary resource they would ever need to live effectively, functionally, generously, and in prosperity before you as a sign and a symbol of your standard at work within the lives of those whose hearts are submitted to you. Thank you for their constancy, consistency, perseverance, sameness, reliability, faithfulness before you. And this day I confer heaven's blessing, heaven's best upon them both and their future. We look forward to the day of their matrimony. And oh God, I ask your hand be upon that also. I pray great grace and abundant peace always befall them and even those that will be born from their loins. Their children and their great-grandchildren will exhibit a blessing of generational blessings that is of such a high quality and standard. We bless you for Jody. We bless you for Rial, and we bless them both in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. 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 Bless you. Amen. Lift your hands. And now, Father, we bring us as a house to you. And I ask, oh God, that help us to be absorbed in the right things. Help us to take pains in the right things. Help us to give ourselves to your purposes, that our profiting might appear to all. Help us to practice and to do the things to save ourselves and those that hear us. I pray great grace and abundance of peace be on all your people and those listening. I pray, oh God, that in Jesus' name there would come new impetus and new surge forward with absolute diligence, with absolute focus to please you, our God and our Father. And I ask, oh God, the advance be corporate, not individual. It be collective, everyone moving together in step and in synchrony. In Jesus' name, pray your blessing be upon us all, and great grace and abundant peace be the portion of those, these your servants, these your great sons. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.